Okay, so we're trying to work on the problems from yesterday in Chof Gimel and Beis in Sanhedrin. I mean, it's difficult to put your full effort into the first shita of Rashi because he basically says it doesn't make sense in the end of the day. And it's true, Tosus does learn that way, but Tosus has a lot different shot in general. He doesn't learn the facts exactly the same. So let's just give a basic understanding of the first shita and I guess the problems with it, and then we'll try to go to the next shita. Okay. So what do you guys say? You've been working on this. Yeah. It's really not. I'm not really sure. The first. What does it mean, Tzarich Levayer, according to the first way of learning? Tzarich Levayer, translation wise, right? Gil seems like Levayer here means to prove, right? So you need to prove. The la'amo ulaha'amid al ha'emes kol devar of shatoein bebeisin. Yep. So what's that idea? What's that machlokas? What's the shita of Rabbi Meir of Tzarich Levayer? Let's just get a basic understanding. Go ahead. And you have to keep in mind that you've considered to fulfill it according to this first shita, even if you bring postulatum, which is the weakness according to Rashi. But That's what he holds it. That's what he holds the idea would be in the first coin to that Girsa. It's strange. The whole thing is strange. I mean, the whole thing is difficult that a person can change what he needs to do. I mean, that's what's difficult about this. We have to accept that, though. Apparently, a person can come into Basin and alter what he needs to do to win the case. So what is he doing? He's going above and beyond. So we were trying to work it out yesterday in a consistent way that is his taina and he has to support his taina. But I don't think that works out because I don't think unless he has the two adim, like Rashi's problem, he haven't supported the taina really. Ultimately that's Rashi's problem. So like I say, I mean, do we have to find an idea here or do we have to find a problem here? That's what's not clear. In other words, let's ask this question, according to the first way. So what does he need to do to win the case? What does he need to do to win his claim? So there's two things he needs to do to win, right? He has to give a basis for the claim itself, right? I.e. Kusher Adam. And then he has a secondary job, Tzarich Levayer, right? That's the way Rashi expresses it. It's like there are two things he needs to do, right? He needs to produce evidence that he could be Motzi Mamon with, and then he also needs to fulfill the second requirement of Devarav Nivrorim, right? He could be, for instance, Rashi says, he could be Motzi Mamon al Pihem, Ilo Nifslu Rishonam Motzi Mamono al Pihen. If the first cat was Kusher, he could use them to be Motzi the Mamon, meaning they're the ones that really give the evidence that the money belongs to him. But apparently that's not enough to win. But he still needs the second one to fulfill the second requirement of Devarav Nivrorin, right? So it's like Rashi is saying it's like two different qualifications over here. I mean, Yonah was saying yesterday that it's like a credibility issue, right? That if he claims something and he doesn't come through with it, it's like a credibility issue. I hear, but it's difficult for me to accept that it's such a credibility issue that we're going to negate a kosher set of Adam. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, it's true, we say, if you know something is not true and Adam come and prove it, it's not going to help. Right, like Sajigon has that. He says you can't prove the impossible. I mean, even if you have witnesses that tell you that they say you own the Atlantic Ocean, no one's going to believe you. You have a shtar mechir. It's not going to help you. Because it's all raya. But you can't have a raya to something you know is not true. Raya to something you know is not true. It's not a raya. Raya is like a secondary way of knowing something. If I know something intrinsically, it definitely takes precedence to a secondary. But over here, I mean, say this proves the guy is an outright liar and the event never occurred and these Adam are liars too. It just seems difficult to me to go that far. And what's the machlokas? Machlokas is difficult. So the only thing I can come up with is like this, is that this whole idea of Tzorach Levarer is saying, there's one premise over here, and that's the basic thing. The basic premise is what? If you hold like Rebbe Meir, the basic premise is, just very generally speaking, you can set the parameters of your own case, the Chumrah. You can, the Baal Din, the one who's bringing his case, can, ahead of time, can with his claim, can define l'chumra what he needs to do to succeed. It's somewhat of like the Meiria, so he uses the lashon of guzma. It's somewhat like an exaggeration. Like, I'm so sure I'm right, I have two, so I'm going to prove it with two sets of Adam. You know what I mean? But that's what you threw down. That's the standard you accepted. You accepted upon yourself a certain standard. And you're saying, it's true, a normal person would have to prove it this way, but I'm so sure I'm going to prove it, I'm so sure I'm doubling my burden. Something like, why would somebody do that? We don't know why somebody would do something like this. But it's a certain amount, like the Miri says, a certain amount of ragging, exaggerating, whatever you want to call it. So according to the first way, it seems like he's saying, I am going to prove this. Tzorach Levarer means I have two sets of Adam. So now what? So what does that mean? What is he saying he's going to do? That's the question. Now, as Yonah was saying, maybe we can modify Yonah's way a little bit. I know we're sort of reaching around. But Yonah was saying, they're saying two things. So you need to, how do you win your case? You need two things. You need to prove your claim. You need to prove your tviya. In other words, you have to prove that the guy owes you the money. And you have to support your taina. In other words, you have to be a good toin. Now let's put it that way. In other words, you have to establish yourself as a proper claimant. And if you are a proper claimant and the claim proves the case, you win. I think that's what you were saying yesterday in terms of the gavra. It was like we were saying initially, there's the toin, the nitan, or the toveya and the nitba, the raya, and then the dayanim. So he's saying, you have to validate yourself as a proper toin. That means to say, everything you claim, you have to back up. If you're not a proper, if you're disqualified as a toin, then you're not really in the case. You're excluded from the case. You're there. He who has the right to give his evidence and win his case, the one who has the proper standing as a toin. How do you validate? So therefore, everything you claim comes under the category of being a toin. And if you can't back it up, then you fail as a claimant. If you fail as a claimant, then you're excluded from the process of din. It's tough. It's a tough kind of an idea. It's a difficult kind of an idea.
Then we can establish your tviya. Why does it matter?
Right. Right. So Rashi doesn't like this whole approach. It's hard to support it. Rashi doesn't like it. So why doesn't Rashi like it? All right, so what is the idea then that Rashi is learning? We'll come back to the second question in a minute, to the other question in a minute that I mentioned. But what is the idea? So forget about the bad idea. What's the right idea of Tzarech Levara? Rashi says you have to bring in two kosher edim. If you don't bring in two kosher edim, then you lose. Pasul edim is not bira. So what is the idea then? Well, you see, I would say like this. See, I maybe got started on the wrong foot here. That was the other side is like, let's say like Yonah was saying, that it's in terms of the Gavra as the Tomei. So if he makes a claim and he fails in that claim, then he lacks in his status as a Gavra of a Tomei. As the Tomei, he's as a claimant, he's invalidated. But Rashi doesn't like that pshat. Rashi doesn't like that pshat. But the true pshat, let's focus more on the true pshat. Okay, the true pshat, I think, is like I was saying before. That what does it mean, Tzarech Levarer? It means to say that at the outset of your claim, this is the machlokes from your Meir and Chachamim, the person can set his standard of proof. He can set the conditions, l'chumra, that he must meet to win his case. So he'll saying like this, I know that I only need one set of edim to win, but I'm so sure I'm gonna be makabel basically on myself that I'm not gonna win unless I prove it with two sets of edim. Meaning to say, I have an extra set of edim, okay? That's what I claim, and my claim defines my evidence that I need to win my case. Now, as the person, the claimant, has the ability, l'chatchila, tzarech levara means that the claimant actually has the ability to accept upon himself a higher standard of proof than is necessary. That goes by his claim. So it's not as that's why they both have to be true. They both have to be kosher edim, because that is what he's accepting upon himself. He's saying, I am claiming this, and I don't want to win. I'm so sure I don't want to win unless I prove it twice. That's how definitive I am about this thing. Okay, He's now elevating his standard of evidence. Torah says you only need two edim to prove this. I say I'm going to have four edim. That's my burden now. I've defined my burden of proof. So therefore, Rashi says, if that's the case, then what? Then, of course, he's a nogeya be'edis on any set of those two. Because they basically come down to one heftza of edis. Right? Now, in the first pshat, who was really being motzi the mamon? One set of edim were being motzi mamon, right? So the sec, so the ka, and one set, and you only need one set, and you need it just to bring the other set to be mevara devarav. So when I knock out the first set, I'm not really doing anything in terms of the din, because once they came already, that's birur dvarim, and he doesn't need them for his proof to be motzi mamon, right? But according to this way, according to the second shot, that's because the two had there were two roles, each one was fulfilling. They weren't both doing the same thing. One was coming just to support him as a Tohen, and the other one was coming to prove the fact, right? So they didn't have the identical role. So that was the argument in the first way of learning. As long as one came, he has Birur Dvarim. Doesn't matter. So even if he apostles them, he's not affecting Birur Dvarim. And since the proof is going to come from the second one, he's not affecting the Motzi Mamon, being Motzi Mamon either, right? But according to this way, Rashi's learning, there's only one entity, really, of Edus. The only thing is, the guy's makabel on himself, that it should be composed of two sets. So now, of course, he's a vadeh and no gay of Edus. Okay? That's Rashi's second pshat. Now hold on. There are complicated threads that we have to just isolate over here. Okay. So one of the issues that's wrapped up in this whole problem is this. Let's just pull one at a time. Hold on. Which one should we do? Let's take the nogeya be'edus side for each. Okay. Now, as we were basically now just doing the not nogeya be'edus side. Wait, which side were we just doing? We were just doing the ain nogeya be'edus side, right? We were doing Reb Meir. Get myself mixed up. Let's say, now, according to the first pshat. According to the first pshat, one second. There's one point we have to make clear, and that is that even if you hold ein tzarach levarer, right, when you say you have two sets of edim, that does something. Everybody agrees that does something. Okay. So let's take the first way of learning. According to the first way of learning, if I say I have two sets of Edom, then what? Even if I say I have two sets of Edom, so let's take the first way of learning. Let's go through it one more time. Let's say I say I have two sets of Edom, okay? So now if I say Tzarech Levarer, then what? Then I'm not Nogei Beidus. Why? Because I don't need the kashrus of both of them to win my case. Correct? But if I hold ein tzarach levarer, then what? Then I'm a nogeya be'edus to passel one of the groups. Why? In other words, let's define the idea of nogeya be'edus. See, the point is like this. There are two issues that really go one hand in hand. One is, what's the definition of tzarach levarer? But that's also going to define your idea of nogeya be'edus in some way. Because according to the first pshat, tzarach levarer means you have to bring two sets. One could be pasul, one could be kasher. And that's what you need. And then you're going to say that you're not a nogeya be'edus when you hold tzarach levarer. Right? But if you hold ein tzarach levarer according to the first pshat, then you are a nogeya be'edus. And in the second pshat, it's reversed. So let's take the first pshat. What makes him a nogeya be'edus when the guy has two sets of edim, but he says, but we hold ein tzarach levarer? He doesn't need to bring the second group. But how can we put that conceptually? What would we call each set? In other words, what is it about the Ein Tzarach Levarer? How do we qualify the Edim? How do we understand the nature of the Edim in the Ein Tzarach Levarer versus the Tzarach Levarer? Yeah, right. In other words, what I'm fishing for is this particular term, that particular word. I would say like this, that to be a nogeya be'edus, you have to be meyed on edim that are capable of the gemar din. You have to be meyed on edim that are capable of producing the gemar din. Okay? Let's try that out for a minute. So therefore, if I hold ein tzarach levarer, each set is capable of producing the gemar din on their own. Okay? In other words, I have to remove the capability of the Edim from producing the Gemar Din to be considered Nogeya Beidus. So if each set is on their own and I could stop at set one, I don't have to go to set two, then set one is capable of producing a Gemar Din. Okay? But if I hold Tzarach Levarer, I need to bring both, right? And once one of them, so therefore you can't say about either set That it's that this set is no one set is capable of bringing about the Gemar Din. And once it comes, I'm not removing, let's put it this way. Once one set shows up, I'm not removing the capability of them to produce the Gemar Din. Because that's all they need to do to produce the Gemar Din. All they need is one to show up and one to be kosher. So the capability of the producing the Gemar Din does not lie in any particular, in that first set of Edom alone. Right? Because they don't, because he can't stop there, right? And they're only necessary to be mevarer devarim, which my edus is not going to affect. And since the second set has to come anyway, I'm really having no effect on the case. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So for a mayor side, it's also going to be, in other words, you sort of have to define the entity that produces the Gemar, that's capable of producing the Gemar Din, and you have to remove that entity. But for the first side, for a mayor, what is the entity of producing the Gemar Din? It's really one group showing up and one group being maimed the evidence. So I can't remove. So as long as, so if I passel the first group, I haven't disqualified any entity that's capable of producing the Gemar Din. I haven't changed, I haven't removed the capability of the Gemar Din. I haven't removed any entity that because there was no single guy who was capable of producing the Gemar Din anyway. Yeah. Okay. In other words, the way it goes back a little bit to what we were discussing last time by Nogei Beidus. This is sort of like saying it goes by the gavra of the din. Right. In other words, the Nogei Beidus means you can't remove the effective gavra of Gemar Din that's against you. So you have to look at what is capable of producing Gemar Din. That defines him as a certain kind of a gavra, and you can't disqualify that gavra. So let's take each side again. If I hold Ein Tzarich Levarer, who is a gavra of Gemar Din? Each set on its own is fully a gavra of Gemar Din. So that means each set on his own is a full package of edus against me. It's a full package of dispositive edus. So I can't go against a gavra of raya for Gemar Din against me. That's a nogeya beedus. Okay? But there is no one gavra of Gemar Din if you hold tzarech levara. It's a combo that you need. You need one group to show up and one group to produce test to give kasher edus. Right? So I can't treat each one independently. I can't say, well, you can't passel the first set because they themselves are capable. They're not. I only need them, I really only need them to function as being maimed biru devarim, and they did that already. So my testimony against them doesn't really negate them as the gavra of Gemar Din. Why? Because what's their role of Gemar Din? Showing up! The cheftza of Gemar Din is really produced by two things, according to Tzarech Levar. One guy, one group showing up, and one group producing the testimony. If you hold this way, if you go the first way. So there's no way to remove the guys who are showing up. Because once they show up, even though you apostle them, they showed up. So that's intrinsically are qualified already. Right? And removing their testimony doesn't make a difference because you have to look at the overall cheftza of what's going to produce the Gemar Din. The overall cheftza that's going to produce the Gemar Din, you're not affecting. Because as long as you relegated them to showing up, and the other guys will be the ones to give edus. You haven't affected, you haven't negated the joint entity of Gemar Din that this guy needs. Or that's capable of producing the Gemar Din. You haven't affected the body of evidence that is capable of producing a Gemar Din. That's the rule. You can't affect or negate the body of evidence that could produce a Gemar Din against you. It's just because it's not possible in this case to do it. Because the very body of evidence that you need is composed of just two lackeys that show up and two guys that give evidence. So the guys who showed up. There's nothing you can do about that. There's no way to negate them anymore. You haven't affected an outcome in the second side, but it doesn't go by outcome. It goes by the definition of the Edom. We have to define Edom of Gemar Din. You cannot be made against Edei Gemar Din that are against you. So all we have to do is we have to look at what Chefza can produce Gemar Din. Is what you're doing negating that Chefza? If the answer is yes, then it's Nogea Be'edus. The answer is no, it's not Nogei Beis. But it just goes by defining the gavras of Edom, the cheftza of God, the entity of Edom against you. What makes them Edom? That they can produce Gemar Din. That's what qualifies them as individuals. In other words, you can't knock out your adversaries, so to speak. Whoever is capable of dealing the death blow to your case is your adversary. You cannot go against him. Can't say he's not my adversary because someone else could do it too. No, he is kinegdo. That's the psul of Nogeb is. You cannot passel the edus that is kinegdo. To be kinegdo, though, it has to be fully capable of disposing of the case. And then to be against them has to be removing that entity. So when it's Ein Tzarich Levarer, each set on its own could do it, so each one is a guy against you. Whereas Tzarich Levarer, there's no individual that's against you, it's a conglomerate that's against you. And there's no way, but there's no way to remove them, there's no way to remove that entity by passing one, the first set. Because just showing up, he already finished his job. But if you hold the second side, then what? Then things get reversed. Then we say, if you hold Tzarich Levarer, then to passel one set is Nogei Beidus. Whereas if you hold Ein Tzarich Levarer, then it's not Nogei Beidus. So you can see clearly, the Ein Tzarich Levarer side is not changing, right? Factually speaking, what it means, Ein Tzarich Levarer, is not really changing. Too much. It's not really changing, right? So you see clearly there's a question of what it means to be Nogea Be'edus, because in the first side we called the Ein Tzarich Levarer side the Nogea side, and in the second side we're saying the Ein Tzarich Levarer is the not Nogea side. So aside, buried in this whole complication of what Tzarich Levarer means and doesn't mean, is also this very big question of what Nogea really means. So let's take the second question. Let's take the Nogea question. Let's say I hold Ein Tzarich Levarer according to the second side. Why is it considered not Nogea Be'edus to knock out one of those sets? According to the first way, and by the way, Rashi doesn't seem to be critical of this part of this. Rashi is not critical of the idea that Ein Tzarich Levarer could mean that you're a Nogea Be'edus. He's critical of the svara of what Tzarich Levarer means, right? But it turns out, dependent on that, is this question. If you hold, do you hold that Ein Tzarich Levarer produces a Nogea Be'edus or not a Nogea Be'edus? According to the first way, Ein Tzarich Levarer makes him Nogea Be'edus. Point to the second way, Ein Tzarich Levarer means he's not a Nogea Be'edus. That was the second question.
But they don't switch the definition.
They're not switching the definition. But you do see one thing that's very important. And what is that? That even if you hold Ein Tzarich Levarer, according to the second side, when you say you have two sets, that means something. Right? Because if you said you had one set, Vaday, they couldn't pass that set. So even though Ein Tzarich Levarer means you don't have to bring both, but the fact that you said you have two means something, and it renders and it makes it not a Nogea Be'edus to pass one set. How? But I'd like to get another word too here. In other words, for the first side, we were saying, this is the value of a well-chosen word now. For the first side, we were saying what makes you a nogeya be'edus, the fact that you're capable of rendering a gemar din, that you're going against those who are capable of rendering a gemar din. So even though I have two sets of edim, each one is independently capable, and that makes you a nogeya. According to this way, what makes you a nogeya? Not going against those who, not going against someone who's capable, but what? You have to go against someone who's necessary for the Gemar Din. Right? According to the first way, it was only someone who's capable. As long as he's capable, he's a Gavra of Gemar Din. He's your adversary. Okay? But according to the second way, just putting it in terms of logically, he's saying, if he's not necessary, then you're not a nogea. Now, here's the interesting thing. What makes him necessary or not? Whether I claim to have a second guy. That's what's interesting. In other words, according to this, when we say, Ein Tzarech Levarer, it's true, that doesn't mean I raised my standard of proof. That's what Reb Meir says. But even according to the Chachamim, it does mean something. I am defining my pool of evidence. I'm defining for myself my pool of evidence. If you, as the plaintiff, define this set of edim as redundant, then you can't simultaneously claim that I'm a nogeya be'edus to pasulim. You understand?
Necessary sufficient.
So you could look at it like this. You could look at it like this. This is just purely speculation over here, but you could look at it like this, that it's a question of what the psul of nogeya be'edus is. Is it an objective idea, like we were saying in the first side, that you have to define the characters in the case? If he can give a gemar din, he's your adversary and your nogeya in terms of archetypes, you know. He's your adversary definitively because he's capable of delivering the Gemar Din against you. Okay, that's the first way. In other words, Nogeya Be'edus is really an intrinsic din, objectively defined by the shame of Edim that are against you. So as long as they're able to give edus against you for the Gemar Din, then it's automatically a psul. And it doesn't matter that the Baal Din says, I have two sets, I've got hundreds, I've got thousands. It doesn't matter. Each one is definitively kinegdo, and therefore you're a nogeya be'edus to each one. Or you can learn that a nogeya be'edus is really a taina of the other Baal Din. That it's a right of the other Baal Din to disqualify you because you are to affect his case. But if he already claims within his very taina that he doesn't need this set, then there's no taina that he's a nogeya be'edus. In other words, is it halachically speaking, like an objective psul? Like if you're a nogeya be'edus, it's like a karov, right? Or is it really a right of the Baal Din not to have testimony from the other side in something that he's nogeya, that's nogeya to his case? So the difference would be in his taina. If he's towing that he doesn't need this set, then he can't make the taina that you're a nogeya. But if it's just an objective idea that a nogeya is objectively like a psul, then it just goes by the definitions. In other words, you understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, what's really the psul of a nogeya? Is it a din that I have a right to insist on completely untainted evidence? Right? Let me put it in those. What I'm trying to say is like this. Does it stem from, is it like an objective psul? Like we'll say, okay, who's psul edus? Isha, Eved, Karov, Russia, Nogea. How do you define a Karov? Well, related this way. How do you define a psul over an Isser Lav with Malkus? How do you define Nogea? He's testifying against an aid that's against him in court. And that's it. It's just an objective relationship. Just an objective psul. He's just like a karov is an objective psul, right? Or is it a din? And then he's psul. He's complete. His aidus is worthless. He has zero. His aidus is just not good. Or is there a different din? It's not that a nogea bedover has no edus. It's not that an ogei abedavah's edus is worthless, but it's a taina of the baldin that we'll accept, that we validate that we shouldn't accept this type of edus. No, we need to work it out. We need to think it over a little more. But the issue I'm trying to fit in over here is, what's the difference if this guy says I have two edim or not? Right. So I'm saying, if you're going to learn objective, it goes by an objective shame. So then he can have 100 edim, but each aid is objectively considered against him, and it would be considered a nogea to that guy. But if you'll say it's a din of the it's a din of the toveya, it's a taina, I can come to court with a taina that he shouldn't be allowed in. I'm not saying he's posel. I'm not saying he's a liar. But I have a taina. I don't want this guy in. I have a reason. I don't want him in. And we'll accept that reason. We'll accept that reason. But if you simultaneously are towing that this guy is not relevant, that these edim are not relevant, you can't claim both at the same time. It negates your own taina to remove him from the case. Now, as we give you a right to say, I don't want this guy to be made, because what he says could somehow affect things. But if you said yourself, these edim are totally irrelevant to my case, because I have another set, then you can't say at the same time, remove this, don't let him be made, because he's going to affect my case. In other words, is it a certain appeal to like ultimate sense of justice that we give the claimant the right to exclude something that he in his mind feels is tainted because it affects the outcome of his case? But it's a right. It's a right of the other side. It's not an objective soul. If it's a right of the other side, then he has to invoke it. But he can't invoke it if he already entered a claim that undermines the very claim. In other words, in din, a lot of things come down to taina. Like the very next case. I don't know if you got a chance to look at the next case. But let's say I drag you into, let's say I drag Yitzi into court, into Beis Din. And I say to Beis Din, that sweatshirt is mine. Okay? And I say, that sweatshirt is mine. So what's the din? So Yitzi is a muchsuk, because he's wearing it. Right?
Possession is not
offense. So what if he says, tough luck, I'm wearing it? Of course he's going to lose. Okay? Of course he's going to lose. But if he says, oh, I bought it from him, he'll win. Why? Because his possession will validate his taina. In other words, his claim is he bought it. And the fact that he's a muhsak gives credence to his claim. Okay? So he's really winning on his taina. His claim is what he's winning on. But we'll say we believe the claim of the muhsak. That's what we say. But if let's say I say, I have a business where I rent sweatshirts. If I could prove that, then that would undermine his claim. Then this chazaka doesn't help. So a lot of things, because then possession doesn't indicate ownership. But the point I'm trying to make is over here, a lot of things come down to taina. And taina is a very important, plays a very important role in din. So what I'm trying to say over here is maybe that's the question by the nogea. If you learn it's an inyan of taina, then the fact that he's telling he doesn't need them removes that taina. But if you say it's an objective psul, then it doesn't matter whether he needs them or not. Otherwise, the reason why I'm saying it, what we set up till now is good, and that's solid. We just observed and we defined, right? We observed and we defined. And we defined that according to the first way of looking at it, it's just the fact that they're sufficient, right? That defines them as a nogea. And in the second set, it's defining them as necessary that makes them nogea. We're just trying to give now, we're trying to speculate what the underlying theory would be for necessary versus sufficient. And we're giving a possibility. But let's not lose sight of what we have that we know fairly certain is that basic definition. Go further is good, but you have to put it into a perspective. Okay. Now, what about the last question? The last question is that Rashi says that if you're going to learn Nogea, if you're going to learn Tzarech Levari, according to the first way, that all you need to do is to substantiate your Taina with one set. And as long as they show up, that's good. And the second set, you need to be Maimid, you need to be Motzi Mamon for. So Rashi says that still is not going to be good, because you're a Nogea Beitus right away. Why? Because maybe the second set won't be able to prove the case. Right? But Rashi doesn't have any problem in the second shot for the Rabbanon of Ein Tzarech Levarer, that if you say the first set is not necessary, because there is a second set, then we say it's not a Nogea Beitus. Even though the second set might become possible. So why don't we say the problem is like this. In both cases, the same possibility that the second set, in both cases, if the second set is kosher, the case is won. And if the second set is possible, the case is lost. And the same possibility exists that the second set will be possible. So how come when Rashi learns Ein Tzarech Levarer, he says, well, if you'll tzarech levarer, and the second set might be possible, then you're nogea bedavar l'chatchila. But when he holds Ein tzarech levarer, and still the second set might be possible, he doesn't have any problem with saying tzarech levarer. He doesn't have any problem with saying you're not a nogea beitus. Now, the Marsha thought this question was so powerful, he said, you must change the facts, and you must learn that Rashi is saying in the second time, the two Edom already came, and we already know one set is kosher. Otherwise, you can't get out of this problem. But the Marshal had an answer. He had a Svara answer. And what was his answer? A little cryptic. But what was his answer? He said what? So what does the Marshal say? He says like this. He says, Visu leker lakshuye hanogea beidesu. Why? The shema yimotze kachshinya psula. Why? Me'achad lo tolui hani sahadi besahadi kamai. He says, since the second set is completely independent, is not dependent on the first set at all, then we don't say he's nogea because maybe the second set will be possible. Imkein milsachritihu veina nogea beides kama. Vim kein me'achash adayin lo poslu, oslan, mukminim b'cheskes kashrus. Vim nifslu achakach, mazla di degorim. But what's the idea? I mean, what's the svar? He's saying a true fact. that if you hold Tzorach Levarer, then he needs to bring the second set in. He has to, no matter what. Right? And then we worry about the possibility, and then the possibility that the second set is possible, Rashi holds, would make him a Nogeya Be'edus, even in the first set. But when he has two sets and he doesn't need to bring both, then Rashi holds, he's not a Nogeya Be'edus on the first set because of the possibility that the second set will be possible. You see, it goes back to what we were saying before. That was Rashi's learning that if you hold Tzorach Levarer, then you've made of both groups one entity. Right? You've made of both groups one entity. And you've made one, you made the two kitos into one cheftza of Gemar Din. Right? Chefs of Gemar Din. And once you do that, so he's saying like this. Your argument is that when I'm made against the first group, I haven't removed the entity of Edus. Because the first group only needs to show up. Right? But he says, no, that doesn't make sense. Al Pisvar. Why? Because he didn't relegate which role each one had. He says, I have two sets of Edom, right? He's not defining which set is to be Mekayim, the Din, and which set is to be Mevara Dvarav, right? But by you postling the first set, now you're relegating which one is which. That's already a Nogeya Be'edus. Because that determination could affect the outcome. And it's in the Cheftza of Edus. So you don't have a right, a Nogeya Be'edus goes not by definitively removing the Cheftza, but by limiting the capability of the Cheftza too. That's also Nogeya. If you do something that limits the ability of the Cheftza of Edus, that's also a Nogeya. So also when he has two sets, he has no limitation. Either one can function for either way. One has the function to be Motzi Mamon, and one has the function to be Mevara Devarav. It's one Cheftza, right? Out of it has to come these two things. But he hasn't defined which is which. He has the opportunity for either one to fulfill either role. You now are pigeonholing each guy. Oh, you're the Mevara and you're the Ma'ames. You're the Mevara and you're the Motzi Mamon. That's a Nogeya. You don't have a right to affect his Cheftza. But when I learn two sets of Edim that are completely independent, by being made on one, I'm not affecting any Cheftza of Edus. I'm not affecting any necessary Cheftza of Edus. Because they're independent entities. The point over here is that when I hold Tzorach Levarer, I have two entities. I'm sorry, I have two groups that form one Cheftza, right? And one has to fulfill the role of Birur Devarim, and one has to fulfill the role of Motzi Mamon. So when I'm made on one, I'm affecting the whole entity. And I'm limiting how this entity can function for the Gemar Din. That itself is a Nogeya. Right? It's sort of like a quantum, right? Physics guys. Right?
Yeah.
It's right, entanglement. Ahead of the time, either one could have been either one. So ahead of time, either one could have functioned for either role. It was undetermined. Now by picking one as the Biror, he relegated the other one's Vadai to the Motzi Mamon. But that's not what he had. He had He had only probabilities. Now you defined. That's changing. But if I have two separate entities, I'm not changing one or the other. I'm not changing anything. By doing one, each one is independent. I'm not affecting the definition of one by being made on the other. But in the entanglement case, you are. right? Where I lump them together as one chefza, one must have the birur role and one must have the mamon role, but I bring them as undifferentiated, and you are made on one, you're differentiating the other. Ah, you're changing my entity. You're changing my very entity. But if the two, if I say, I have extras, I haven't done anything. Right? So the Marshal knew. Strict of a burden. Now, it was in the first way that Rashi learned, you're only in Nogeya when, you only in Nogeya not, you know, the difference between the first way and the second way is in the first way he was saying, you have to identify the entity and your Aedis has to be Mavatal the entity. So as long as I just, so I'm not Mavatal the entity because I still gave a role of this guy for the Birur and that guy still has the capability of being Motzi Mamon. The second way is you have to define the entity and you can't affect it. You can't tamper with it. Aedis against that entity, Aedis that's Nogeya to that entity is Nogeya Aedis. You can't be a Nogeya in the very Aedis of this entity. So initially the entity had unlimited Aedis. Now it has a very limited Aedis. That's a Nogeya in that Aedis. You don't have to remove it completely. The same facts as Rashi. And it's from what I saw in the Rishon, there's no Shita that really learns the same facts as Rashi in the first Lishna. Tosis has a little bit of a different set of facts. Who was it? Beinu Chananel has a whole different set of facts. Yad Ramah has a totally different shot. But so you can't really... I don't think you can really treat that first pshat like a really solid pshat that we have to really work down to get down to the... We certainly can't present it in a way that doesn't have Rashi's problems. So once we know the problems, it's like our hands are tied behind our back now. It's very hard to present it in a clear way. All right, that's it. We gave it a roll. But the main thing is the second pshat. Well, I don't know if we gave it a roll, but we gave it all we've got now. So the second pshat, I think, means that that Reb Meir holds a Baal Din has the right to, the Baal Din has the right to what? To raise the level of evidence that he needs. He has the right personally to accept a higher degree of evidence. And that's why he needs to have two kasher edim. Okay, so tomorrow, let's take up that next little question. Very interesting. The next little question is interesting. Where the guy has Edim and Shtar. Right? Edi Chazaka and Shtar. You see the case at all?